Okie dokie then, here we go with another week on The Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It is a Monday. Yes, the Monday after the three-day weekend, a nice 4th of July holiday weekend. Bill Buckmaster along with Ed Alexander. And Ed is engineering and producing today's show. Together we welcome you to The Buckmaster Show. For this Monday, we're coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have podcasts, of course, and our complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We have links to The Buckmaster Show on the homepages of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine. We're going to begin with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30. We'll have an interview, as we do each, really, the first Monday of the month, our monthly conversation with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. The live line number for you, 790-2040. And our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday here on The Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week it's Bruce Ash, who is now in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom is the former chairman of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. With me in studio for the face-off, Paul Eckerstrom. Paul, how are you, and how was your 4th of July weekend?
Oh, great. I'm just home recuperating from knee surgery, and my house basically is up against a mountain, so we got a great view of the fireworks.
And I'm looking right now at your scar from your knee surgery, which is, scar looks like it's about 6 inches, something like that.
Well, yeah, it's pretty big.
Well, anyway, that was about 2 weeks ago, and Paul is doing very well. It was the knee this time, then previously on that side of his body, he had the hip.
Just call me the Tin Man.
So watch out when he comes through any of those TSA metal detectors. Yeah. Let's welcome now Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is over in the San Diego area extending his 4th of July weekend just a little bit. Bruce Ash, how are you?
Doing great, and I'm glad to hear Paul is feeling better, Bill and Paul. And
thanks, Bruce.
We had a great weekend here in Coronado. Our family enjoyed the Coronado parade, 4th of July parade. Lots of cool stuff in that parade. And then Saturday evening, got one of the greatest fireworks displays anywhere in the country. Three different, synchronized fireworks exhibitions from Coronado to the Embarcadero, and then over to Point Loma. Almost, it was phenomenal.
Well, it sounds like it was a wonderful way to spend the 4th of July, and we had some rain here, Bruce. So it was not too bad. It was actually a very pleasant weekend here, and we finally had a really good rain.
Yep. I heard.
Yeah. Robert Robb of the Arizona Republic had a column saying that the redistricting commission here in Arizona has largely been a flop. This column, of course, was written in the wake of the decision from the five U.S. Supreme Court judges last week affirming the lower court decision, which said that the voters of Arizona could take the drawing of congressional maps away from the Arizona legislature and give it to an appointed commission. Two other judges said the legislature didn't have the standing to challenge the voters' decision in court. Would you agree with Mr. Robb, Bruce Ash, that the commission's largely been a flop?
Well, I would, Bill and Paul, and the primary reason, and Paul's going to argue that Steve Lynn, wasn't objective, and he didn't follow constitutional guidelines.
How did you know? How did you know that, Paul? How did you know Paul was going to do that? He
just a guess, but I think whether you agree with Paul or you agree with Bruce, I think everybody has pretty much come to the conclusion that a system is flawed when essentially one person, an unelected individual at that, has the ability to effectively change lines for representation both on the Arizona legislative side as well as on the federal congressional side. And that's really the flaw that we have here in the state of Arizona. I'd like to see the decisions given back to the legislature. It may or may not be too late to do that. But certainly what we have now is not a very good system.
I'll disagree with that, but I'll agree to the extent that it's not a perfect system and it's not a great system, but it's better than the legislature drawing the maps themselves. And the reason I say that is because when the state legislature draws the maps, whether the Democrats or the Republicans control the legislature at any given time, they're going to draw the maps, one, in the favor of their party. Two, they're going to draw the maps in favor for themselves as well and make the incumbents then have much more power to make sure and secure their own seats for the future. What I do like about the Independent Redistricting Commission is that it's still a very political body. There's a lot of politics involved. The first round after 2000, when Steve Lynn was the independent who basically controlled how the maps would be drawn, the Democrats weren't real happy with how the maps were drawn because they weren't competitive enough, we didn't feel. And I think competitiveness is important for these districts so that we don't have just primaries electing people, because then a very small minority of people in a particular party is picking the person that's going to represent us rather than a broader base of the electorate. But in this last one, I know the Republicans didn't like the way that the lines were drawn as much. Although I think there's I was upset that there wasn't more competitive districts, but they're more competitive than districts now than there used to be, which I think is a good thing. All that being said, is I think it generally is better if you can remove as much as you can out of raw politics and raw self-interest that which you see when state legislatures draw the lines. And a good example of that is. If you see what's happened in Pennsylvania and Virginia after the Republicans captured those legislatures in 2010, they redrew their lines so badly to favor the Republicans that in both states that Barack Obama won that were considered swing states, that even Pennsylvania shaded to the Democrats, Virginia maybe shaded a little bit to the Republicans. What you had is a very, very lopsided congressional delegation coming from Pennsylvania and Virginia. I think Pennsylvania, it's like 17 districts are controlled by Republican congressmen to 3 Democrats, which is way out of whack of what the electorate believes in that state, which is much more down the middle.
Okay.
And it should be more split.
Okay. Bruce, your turn.
Well, thank you. Paul makes good points. It's not a perfect situation as far as the Independent Redistricting Commission. I suppose it's a matter of your perspective. Steve Lynn did his best, however, to build consensus. There were not nearly as many on key critical issues, especially not nearly as many 3-2 votes in the earlier redistricting that was done under his leadership as chairman. And unfortunately, you're never going to be able to take all the politics out of either a legislative redistricting or a independent redistricting effort, Bill and Paul. There's always politics, so there's always going to be that element. It is impossible to take that out. I think Arizonans were sold a bill of goods when we enacted a whole bunch of so-called reforms to come into play with elections, you know, whether it was clean elections or term limits or this business with the Independent Redistricting Commission. And having said all that, when you look at what has happened, largely influenced by then Ed Pastor, now Mr. Gallegos, and also Raul Grijalva, There were carved out on the congressional side very, very safe congressional districts with loads of Latinos in those districts, and that really has caused some inequalities in other districts. This is a flawed process. Certainly, critically looking at the process is what the legislature ought to do now, and it's what both parties ought to be involved in. Because even Paul's people have candidly admitted to me privately that they worked for 5 years to game this particular process. No one party should be working the system that was set up to be as pure as possible to game the system as we come up on 2020.
There's a little bit of revisionist history here. I mean, when Steve Lynn, after the 2000 election, became the independent redistricting chair, they drew lines that packed Democrats into both Raul Grijalva and Ed Pastor's district. Ed Pastor's district had 75% Democrats, and the new redistrict.
They wanted it that way, Paul.
Yeah, I know Ed wanted it that way, but that isn't the point. He shouldn't have gotten it that way. The Republicans were more than willing to go along with that because that meant all the other districts were going to be heavily Republican. And I think competition is better. Now, what had happened in this last redistricting is that district went down quite a bit. I think it's more like 59% Democrats than 75% Democrats. And there became a much more competitive district in Central Phoenix that Kirsten Sinema has right now. But it's not a Democratic district. That is a right down the middle of the district. The Republicans can win that district just as easily as Democrats.
Bruce, hold your thought there. We've got to take a break. It's 12:16. Not only do we have to take a break, but we want to because we want to hear from the people that make this hour possible. We'll be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and this is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and also on Facebook, of course, and moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash is with us on the live line today from Coronado, and we have Paul Eckerstrom with us in studio. Bruce, I believe you are next. I kind of cut you off right before the break there. I'm sorry. What was your thought?
Right. Well, thank you. Just a real quick rejoinder to what Paul said before the commercial break, Bill. The dynamics in 2010 and 11, when the new redistricting was executed, was a ninth district, which played out in Maricopa County. That was the primary difference in the Pastor district, because you had Kristen Sinema's new district that she currently occupies. Look, redistricting and the work around it has become huge political business. This committee, very quickly, on a split 3-2 vote, hired the same exact telemetry firm that Barack Obama's campaign hired in his elections to the presidency. This was an all-Democratic job. They hired a lawyer who is very sympathetic, again, on a 3-2 vote. Once those two things had happened, this deal was done almost before it started. And for anybody to suggest that this was on the level, the not-so-independent chairman of this committee worked on many Democratic elections before. Her husband is extremely active in Democratic politics. There's no such thing as an independent in terms of not having an agenda or an edge, and that's why this thing is so flawed. And look, I agree with Paul. I mean, I can gain some common ground with him, Bill. I didn't like the way that things were shaping up with the legislature having an opportunity to carve up these districts, and that's the one thing that I think will give us kind of a clean outcome of this decision, which was so disappointing to so many of us here in Arizona, is that some of the gamesmanship that would have been employed for a couple of districts between now and 2020 are not going to happen. And hopefully we'll have a better system in place for the 2020 redistricting.
All right, Paul Eckerstrom.
Yeah, I don't think... we had our issues as Democrats with the Independent Redistricting Commission in 2002 when they redrew the districts then, and obviously Republicans. But if you really look at both of those, they're much more balanced than you see in a lot of other states where the legislatures actually redistrict. And anytime you do something like this, I'll use an analogy towards whether you elect judges directly or whether you appoint them. I've practiced in front of judges both elected and appointed. I'd much rather work in front of an appointed judge because they don't have to worry about the raw politics about getting reelected. And so they can make decisions based on the law and protect minority rights, for example, certain minority groups that aren't popular in a decision, rather than taking the majority side because they want to get reelected. And I think, but make no mistake about it, the appointment of judges, that process is very political, and you can't take politics out of any of all of this, as Bruce said. But I think the Independent Redistricting Commission is a step away from it, enough that at least the state legislature, who has their own self-interests involved because they're elected and they have their districts and they want to keep them the way they want to keep them, at least the Independent Redistricting Commission doesn't have that anchor holding them down from doing something a little bit more balanced than what you would get if the state legislature. So I defend the Independent Redistricting Commission as not a perfect system, but a system that's better than having the legislature do it. If we can come up with something better, I'm all ears.
Matthew is waiting for us to talk on the Buckmaster Show. He called 790-2040. Go ahead, Matthew.
First, I just want to congratulate Bruce and Paul because they both raised excellent points, and I think that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. We have a real decision now from the Supreme Court that affects the nine congressional districts more, and I think it's still an open decision as to the lower courts on the legislative districts. My question is, taking what Bruce said and moving on to saying, you know, we're moving on to 2020, which I think is where we're really at right now. I would love to hear both of their opinions right now regarding what they think, because I think, truthfully, the Supreme Court did the Republicans a favor. I think that they will benefit from having a redistricting commission in 2020 because they are going to find, I believe, that the demographics for Hispanics is going to just swell, and I think that that'll give a little advantage to the Democrats, but I think that the IRC will actually be a benefit for
okay.
the Republicans.
All right, let's Bruce Ash, and then we'll hear from Paul's opinion on that. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, thank you. Good question, Matthew. So much of what is going to happen in 2020 depends upon what's going to happen in 2018 with respect to who the governor of Arizona is going to be. If it's a Republican, you know, it's obviously going to have some impacts on how the IRC is going to be built for the next redistricting. I'm hoping, Matthew, and I've said this before, I hate to be repetitive, I'm hoping that both parties will take a critical look at this process and look at ways to avoid some of the gamesmanship that's been played in the past. And the fairer, if we're going to go with the system, the more fair we make it is, I think, the way to go.
Okay, Paul.
You know, my only suggestion to make this a little bit better, I believe we need an independent redistricting commission. I believe you're always going to, unfortunately, have some gamesmanship in the political side of things to try to affect and influence that commission. But I think the maybe a solution or a help to make it a little more balanced even what it is now is right now there's only five commissioners. Two are appointed by Democratic leadership in the legislature, and two are appointed by Republican leadership in the legislature. And then those four elect an independent. You know, this person has to be an independent, not a Democrat or Republican. So that's only five commissioners. And I suspect that if we got maybe a little bit larger body, you know, maybe nine commissioners instead, you could build in even more checks and balances to try to keep as much politics out of it as possible. I don't know if that's a solution, but it's something. If you did that, though, the change would have to come through a referendum or initiative of a vote by the people because you're changing the Constitution of Arizona to do that. But that's my suggestion to make it a little bit more balanced and try to take it one step even further away from raw politics.
Bruce, final word.
Well, look, in Arizona, We have a lot of independents. There's more independents now than there are Republicans, and there's even fewer Democrats than Republicans or independents. A lot of these independents typically skew, if they vote, they typically skew a little bit to the Republican side. Under normal circumstances, and we've seen this in the prior redistricting, organically, the growth of Republican leadership, both on the legislative side as well as on the federal side, continues to grow. And we've seen that even under what I think are kind of some unfair circumstances. We've seen Republican representation swell over this process. And it'll continue to do so because the solutions to Arizona's problems and the outlook for the future is a more conservative one. And although Paul will disagree with me vehemently, the largest growth in what I think will be a Republican organic growth is going to be through Latinos who are voting more and more Republican and will continue to do so because they have skin in the game. They're now part of American society. Latinos will own more businesses. Latinos will be creating families where their kids are going to be looking for jobs here in the state of Arizona. And I think we're going to see a better outlook economically for all Arizonans under Republican leadership.
Well, yeah, I disagree with that. And I think the Latino vote is heavily Democratic and been skewing more that way, especially when the Republicans keep saying things like what Donald Trump has been saying, that all immigrants coming from Mexico, all these Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers. And, you know, I think if until the Republicans stop using that rhetoric, they're going to not get the Latino vote.
This is the same Donald Trump, Bill, who has supported Hillary Clinton in her elections, and the same Donald Trump who has been dismissed by most leadership in the Republican Party. He is a joke. He is a passing phase.
Thank you very much, Bruce Ash. Have a safe journey back to Tucson. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Paul Eckerstrom, thanks. Good to see you up and about. You are using a walker, but soon you'll be graduating from your walker as your knee continues to get better every day. So you're looking good, and I'm sure you feel a lot better now that the hip and the knee replacement on your left side is behind you.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
All right, that's going to bring us to 12:31. General John Wickham has lots to say about what's going on with ISIS. 790-2040. If you want to get your call and your question in to the general, do it now. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for a newsmaker interview with U.S. Senator John McCain, plus our monthly Your Med segment. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is now about 12:35 on this Monday afternoon. Once a month, we are honored to have our contributor on military and foreign affairs with us, General John Wickham. General Wickham served with the U.S. Army as Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He is also Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley and joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Glad to be on your wonderful program.
Well, thank you. And tomorrow we will be talking with Senator John McCain, who today, as chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, is hearing from different dignitaries, including, I believe, the head of the Joint Chiefs, on what to do about ISIS. Yes.
Well, that's going to be a subject that's going to be with us for years to come. And there was a wonderful program on CNN by Farid Zakaria yesterday on ISIS and its origins and what it means. And I read a wonderful book by a woman on the origin of the ISIS and what it means. And I think there are a couple of lessons that can be drawn from this. I don't think Senator McCain will agree with me or with the book. And one of the lessons is that we, the United States, contributed to the rise of ISIS. That's what the Farid program laid out, and that's what the book lays out. When we invaded Iraq, we created a great wave of anger towards the United States and gave the infidels, the belief that we were infidels, a lot of impetus. And number two, we disbanded Saddam Hussein's army and leadership that was well-trained. They had fought a war of 8 years with Iran. They knew how to use weapons, and they are very capable leaders. We disbanded every single one of them, in contrast to the wisdom of what we did after World War II, and kept a lot of the leaders in Germany to survive and lead the country. And so these people are now running ISIS. And so the idea that we can go back over there with another invasion, another $1 trillion, and set the record straight and turn things around is idiocy. This has been going on for a century or more. The locals have to solve it themselves. And as Farid Zakaria's program points out, and people that have talked to the ISIS leaders say, that one thing that the ISIS leaders want most of all is for the U.S. to go back over there with boots on the ground so that they can kill us and that they can cause us great damage. So the foolishness of going over there is something that Americans have to realize. I think what is a book on ISIS by the woman and another man indicates that the program we have now makes a lot of sense of trying to mobilize the locals to fight the war themselves. We can help them. We can use airstrikes, as we have been. We can do better at that. We can also give them weapons and intelligence and the knowledge of how to do it. But they have got to do it themselves. And I think that Senator McCain and some of the members of the GOP will argue, no. We've got to go back and go do it right ourselves. Just the way we went into Vietnam, telling the Vietnamese, step aside. we're going to show you how to win this war. And guess what? 8 years later, we didn't win it.
And the book you're referring to is ISIS, The State of Terror. That is written by Jessica Stern and J.M. Berger. And you make a very good point about after World War II, of course, we had the Marshall Plan, basically rebuilding Europe. So it's not so crazy to think that maybe we should have had some kind of a mini Marshall Plan for the Middle East in Iraq.
Well, actually, exactly right, Bill, and we've done some of that, that kind of a concept, Richard Holbrooke, a good friend of mine who wrote the foreword to my book, a brilliant man, unfortunately he died too soon and could not carry out some of the wisdom or leadership that he was seeking, and I think one of the elements of that would have been sort of a mini Marshall Plan to help rebuild from the inside, not from the outside, from the inside, these nations to deal with their problems themselves. But the essential element, Bill, as you and your listeners know so well, the bitterness between the Shia and the Sunni goes back to Muhammad's death. Who was closest to him when he died, his wife or his son-in-law? And that debate has continued, and that is the basis for the divide. And the locals have got to sort it out themselves. We cannot do it.
And General Wickham, as you know, it's very difficult right now as we've been kind of winding down in Afghanistan to kind of mobilize and get people all excited about sending boots on the ground back to the Middle East.
You're right, Bill, and another factor I think is important to recognize, given the problems we face in our country now. Mm-hmm. We used to be number one in infrastructure in the world. We are now 26th. Mm. You can know it with the roads. We drive around on them in Tucson. They're in bad shape. Our highway trust fund is about out of money. And whose fault is it? It's us. We spent $4 trillion on these two wars. The first war...
I think we may have, did we kind of lose the general there? Just cut right out. Why don't we take, Ed, let's take the break. Yeah, let's take our break because we're very close to our 12:45 break. We're going to take that, and then we will return with General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:45 on this Monday afternoon. This portion of our program brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Coming up, the Fiber Arts Festival, exhibits, workshops, quilts, and demonstrations will be found at this popular arts and craft event in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson. That event is coming up the weekend of July 17th and 18th, the Fiber Arts Festival. Lots of great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find all the many places to stay, a listing of them, and the many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. With us on the live line for his monthly visit to the program, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. And General Wickham, I'm sorry, we had a little phone difficulty, but you were saying about the amount of money that we pumped, that this nation pumped in to our efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan. How many trillion dollars did you say, General?
It's $4 trillion and growing. Oh. And actually, Bill, it's almost half of our federal debt.
Wow.
Right now. And so for the idea of some people in this country that say, let's spend more on wars like that instead of rebuilding America, rebuilding our infrastructure, is mindless, I think, and short-sighted. We've got to do a better job of leading this country. And I think the anniversary of our nation's history ought to remind us about what we ought to be doing that's right.
Okay, General Wickham, 790-2040. If folks would like to join in the conversation, the general would be delighted to speak with you. You know, speaking of books, many foreign affairs experts feel that sooner or later we're going to have to, quote, deal with China. And I know you just finished, is it Hank Paulson's new book on China?
Exactly. Hank Paulson's new book, Dealing with China. Paulson, mm-hmm. as you know, Bill, was the former Secretary of Treasury and has long experience in China, very well connected with the Chinese leadership, and well-written, but it's a long book. But the essence of the book is, yes, China is going to be a major challenge for the West and the world and the United States. But number two, the top priority of all Chinese leaders, including Xi, the new president, is to keep a good relationship with the United States. Good relationship is what they want. And number three, Halston believes this, is not going to be a threat to us, an aggressive threat, that what we must do is build a closer relationship with China so that we can continue to deal with some of the world's problems. Now, there's an interesting sideline of that. You may recollect that Putin sent a birthday message to Obama on the birthday of America, commending us on our independence. He did that last year. And he says in this message that we need to be working more closely together, our two countries, to work on some of these big problems in the world. That's good. But, of course, Putin needs to do a better job of getting out of Ukraine. But that, the point is that the working together is the best way to solve some of the problems, rather than be punching each other in the face or thinking about aggressive. Now, unfortunately, Hillary Clinton, in a speech recently, a couple of days ago, says that we're going to have to deal with China because of the cyber warfare. Yes, they are cyber activity. But guess what? We're doing some of the same things in the United States. We are hacking into China and into other countries. We're clever at it. We're very good at it. And that's going to be an endemic problem for the future. And we have to deal with it because part of that is motivated by profits. Companies want to gather secrets of other companies, and so they'll get into your files and cleverly work it out. But that's not going to lead to war, necessarily. We've got to work more closely together. And I think that's what Paulson is urging, is a better relationship, military to military, as well as economically. Now, one of the ideas that China has proposed, unfortunately, we are resisting it. China has proposed a bank for Southeast Asia, a development bank, and China is putting up $200 billion into that bank to help countries like Indonesia and Vietnam and Malaysia build infrastructure. Makes a lot of sense because the World Bank can't do it, doesn't have enough money, it's too much red tape. China wants to help, and we ought to be willing to do that, to be partake of that. And Paulson makes that point in his book. It's foolhardy for us to be resisting in that direction.
All right, let's go to the live line. Ingrid called us at 790-2040. She has a comment about China. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Ingrid.
Regarding working with China, it is very important that we try to cooperate to the greatest extent possible without harming ourselves. We know we've had such weird political relationships with nations all over the world, and depending on what year it is, you know, you're friends with this one, your enemies with that one, and then vice versa. But as a nation, we always have to remember to protect ourselves, too. And you talked about working with China. We do a lot of trade with China, as you said. And we import a lot from them. And China has a lot of rare metals that are necessary for computer production and so forth. And we apparently, from what I understand, give them back what we don't use anymore, and they recycle it over there. And I'm wondering just how does are we talking to each other about the fact that these the raw materials from which these products are made are not limitless?
Okay. All right, General, go ahead.
Well, that's excellent. Excellent question. A lot of good thought behind that, and you're exactly right. Those rare metals are important, and China is one of the few countries that does have them. Yes, we are talking to them about many subjects, including North Korea, and our efforts to try to get North Korea to act more responsibly and to reduce nuclear weapons. But guess what? The Chinese have now said, we cannot deal with North Korea the way you want us to deal with. They are an independent country, and they've got their own outlook on life. And the Chinese leaders have told me this when I visited over there half a dozen times. So, but we are talking to China, and we need to do a better job of it. And I think this trade pact that the Congress fortunately now has given authority for President Obama to pursue fast trade authority, that's going to improve our relations with China and also give us much more visibility in Asia so that other countries there realize America is going to be around to stay and influence events.
General Wickham, I want to talk a little bit about VA funding. Folks have probably seen the recent headlines that the evidence reveals that veterans are still not receiving the promised prompt care that they were assured would be coming.
Exactly right, Bill. You read up on that very well. One reason is that the VA needs continuing overhaul, and we've got new leadership there. It's going to take time to clean house. It's a big bureaucracy, almost as big as the Department of Defense, and it's going to take time to do that. They're working on it. Number two, the Congress needs to do a better job of funding the VA. When Gabby Giffords was on the VA committee in the House, we had much more success than we're getting right now. And the Congress makes a lot of talk about this, but they aren't walking the talk the way they should. And that's something, when you talk to Senator McCain tomorrow, you ought to press him on that. What are you doing to help? A lot of talk, but let's see the walk. I don't see it.
General Wickham, the North Korean situation, this is something, of course, you're very familiar with. You spent a lot of time in Korea. And what are we hearing now, that they're apparently having the worst drought over there in over 100 years?
Exactly right, Bill. It's over 100 years, the worst drought. And, of course, North Korea is a relatively small country. It's a nation of only about 40 million people. And to the idea of living up there in that parched country with minimal land to grow crops on is a problem. And as a result, in the past years, there have been millions, perhaps, of North Koreans that have starved to death. China's paid the bill largely, and so have we helped out there. But the North Koreans have got to revise their whole economic structure, and the Chinese have been pushing them to do that, to have more of a market-oriented economy, and that may very well take place. Secondly, the fact that they are having this drought may very well put the brakes on the North Korean military activities and be less onerous for the future.
Well, and one thing that really that bothers me, and I think a lot of other people, we're really worried about the leadership, the continuation of the leadership in North Korea. It just seems it is a very fragile line that those folks are walking over there, General Wickham.
You're exactly right, Bill. It is a leadership based on the family structure, Kim Il-sung and his son, and now the grandson. But the reality is, like in many countries with despots, there are influential elites that benefit and that control events, and that's what's happening in North Korea. There's industry up there, there are bankers, there are families that control assets, and they are influencing events. They want to keep Kim Jong-il, the grandson, in power, because that figurehead keeps things together. But other people are pulling the strings. And we've got to learn as a nation, and so does China understands this, how we deal with these other elites as we can influence events in the future.
And General Wickham, don't have a lot of time left, but there are some potential changes in military retirement, and that could affect a lot of retirees in the military. Generally, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's prudent to begin to look at some of this revision. One of the ideas is that I've often thought young people go into the military and enlist, and guess what? They do not get any vesting in retirement until they reach 20 years. If they leave before 20, they're kicked out or just quit. Guess what? No retirement at all. They can go into the reserves and capitalize on that and try to build up. So I think the idea of vesting earlier on, it makes a lot of sense. And one of the ideas is sort of a 401k retirement plan, where the government puts money in and the individual puts money in, but there is now some asset that is of value to the enlisted person that they can rely on if something suddenly happens and they leave, they have an asset. My son is, what he does is a lawyer, and his whole practice deals with military veterans, and he is increasingly amazed at the poor treatment that our veterans get and the inadequacy of our legal structure to deal with them. We haven't revised the laws enough to effectively care for our veterans.
All right, General Wickham, who celebrated a birthday about a week or so ago.
That's right, 87 years and
wow.
60th wedding anniversary. So the good Lord continues to shower some blessings, just as he does on you with your award now of Broadcaster of the Year.
Well, thank you very much, General Wickham. I really appreciate your visits. Happy birthday to you.
God bless. Thank
and
you.
Congratulations, 60 years of marriage. That's great. So a real landmark summer here for General Wickham and his lovely wife, Ann. Thank you, General.
God bless, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay, General John Wickham with us, usually the first Monday of the month, joining us on the Buckmaster Show. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. That'll be this afternoon, 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, 2 hours of local talk, followed at 9, or excuse me, at 8, from 8 to 9 by the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a guest host. I'll be back, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander at 12:04 tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.